For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
This is the 2005 Thanksgiving Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, November the 26th, 2005. Speaker of the evening is Stan Johnson, speaking on What Happens Through Sexual Sins.
How many have not heard me talk about this book, my book that I wrote? Let me see your hands if I... Let me briefly mention it to you. God showed me how to bind things on earth, including people. I can tie somebody up by simply binding the person. The person you can tie up, you can bind them so the evil that's in them can't hurt you. God showed that to me. I've used that for many, many years. The strong man, he said, you want to bind a strong man, you want to spoil a strong man's house? Bind the strong man. He didn't say bind the strong demon. He didn't say bind the strong principality. He didn't say bind the strong angel. He said bind the strong man. And I had never in my life seen it work trying to bind everything else. I got about zero result trying to bind things in that spirit realm. But I get good results casting them out. Things inside of people, I can cast them out and get good results. I can bind people that are strong because of the demonic stuff in them. And when I bind the person, God's angel holds that person while I cast the spirits out. It's happened many, many times. Different countries it's happened. So that book right there is full of revelation. Now, there's one thing in there about remitting sins. Do you know that God says we can remit sins? Do you know what you can do? Somebody that's hurt you or done something to you, you can keep God's judgment off of them by remitting their sin. And God says we can remit sin. For example, Stephen, he was out there being stoned to death. He was out there being stoned to death. And he said, Lord, don't hold this against them. And do you know what would have happened if them stoning an innocent man that was going around doing good and helping people? God's judgment would have come on them for that. So he kept God's judgment off by telling the Lord, he said, Lord, don't hold us against them. He remitted their sins. Now, Jesus, can you imagine somebody that's never done anything wrong, beating him up, tearing his flesh? Can you imagine what God would have done to those people if he hadn't said, Father, forgive them. Don't hold it against them. So he kept the judgment of God from coming down on those people. You can remit sins too in the name of Jesus Christ. We ought to be doing that. It would help the people in the body of Christ. Instead of us criticizing them and trying to get even and this and that, you say, Lord, I remit this brother's sin. Lord, he cheated me. He did this. Lord, I remit his sin. He's not going to be judged for that sin. Now, for him to get free from the bondages, he's got to repent. He's not repenting when I remit his sins. He's still got to get before God. God, I'm sorry. I treated Stan Johnson bad. I like Stan Johnson now that I found out he's okay, you know. And I'm not going to cheat him anymore or steal from him, this and that. So when he confesses his sin, he's going to get released from that. But it's tremendous teaching in that book. You better know how to bind things on earth, including animals. You better know how to bind a lion if you're going to get thrown in there. And you and I are living in the day, we just might be thrown in some pit somewhere. Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth, that's people, animals, snakes, birds, whatever. Now that thing is full of how it's worked for me and been used in ministry for many years. That thing is true. I'm not exaggerating that book. Hallelujah. This right here is me reading the book. This is back on the table there. And if y'all want any of this stuff, you better get it because I'm leaving town in the morning. So it'll be back there tonight. And Lost Keys to the Kingdom, I read it to you. Read it to you while you're taking a trip, driving back home. I'll read you that book. 4 CDs in that thing. Now, you want to get some further deliverance on your way home? This is a deliverance CD set, 4 CDs in there, and I'll cast over 500 spirits and bondages out of you as you're driving your automobile. Slow down, brother. If you got this plan. Slow down, man. Hallelujah. One guy, he plays a CD. There's four of these about deliverance. And I cast things out of him all night long on that CD he puts in there. He says, I wake up so refreshed. See, you don't have doubt and unbelief battling you. If you're sleeping, those demons don't sleep. Satan doesn't sleep either. So there's four CDs in there. I have a website that's listed in my book and all. People go to my website from all over the world and hit on my deliverance thing. And when they click on a bondage they're in, my voice pre-recorded says, come out of there, you porno spirits. You spirits of pornography, if that's what you're clicking on. A lot of people clicking on it, too. Now, I won't know who's clicking on it, but I have a counter there that tells me what country you're in and what city you're in. So, praise God. How about somebody taking those back there for me and put them on the table? Will you do that for me? Hallelujah. The book's $11, and the deliverance and me reading the book is $20. Praise God. Y'all ready for the word? Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, I've got me plenty of people to use up here on this front row. Man, I got my favorites over here. Look here. Boy, I'm going to work them over tonight. God's given me something. Now listen, Jesus made this statement. People don't know what's under here, a lot of them. You know, they come into church and all of a sudden I uncover it and they think it's a yard sale. But Jesus made this statement. He gave me this statement probably 100 times before he gave me this ministry of showing and telling. He says, I choose foolish things to confound the wise. I couldn't figure out why he kept giving me that. I choose foolish things to confound the wise. So you want to know the name of my position? I'm a wise confounder. I confound the wise. Now, Jesus said this, Father, I thank you that you've hidden this stuff from the wise and the prudent, and you've revealed it to babes. Jesus had a baby ministry. He would only teach babies. And he said, he told me this, he said, you tell whoever you're ministering to, unless they become like little children, they'll not get the revelation that I've given you through these objects, through these toys. Hallelujah. So, he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. There it is. Look here. That's the Word of God laying up there. That's the Word of God laying up there. That is the Word of God laying up there. Wow, look at the Word of God. You know, the only difference in my ministry and Jesus, he used mountains. He said, you might say to this mountain over here, you might say to this tree over here, he used mustard seed, ears of corn, water. He used all kind of objects to teach with. Can you imagine Jesus teaching us without using some kind of illustration or object like a mountain teaching us faith or a sycamine tree plucking it up and replanting it over there if you believe it? So thank God for objects, illustrations. Now, recently the Lord's told me to teach principles and precepts instead of focusing on one little sermon. So my ministry is to bring understanding to knowledge. God told me, he said, your minister is going to bring understanding to knowledge. God says, with knowledge, be sure with all you're getting, get understanding. You know, if you're just getting a bunch of knowledge and you can quote that Bible, you can perish if you don't have understanding. So you can perish without knowledge, but you can also perish without understanding. See, if God's given us a sword, he's given us a sword to use. The Word of God's like a sword. Look here, it's got power in it.
Power charge!
Power. They said I could stick them a little bit tonight. You've got power.
Power charge!
The Word of God can pierce you. Can pierce you, get inside. Word of God's powerful. Look at that.
Yeah.
I can take that policeman on that lead. His stun gun wouldn't hurt me. Won't go through God's shield, brother, I tell you. Hallelujah. Now, the Word of God, this is one, the deliverance part that God told me to do tonight. Let me use my brother here. Come here. The Word of God is sharp and powerful. I mean, that thing will cut and it will pierce you. It'll separate your spirit from your soul. And it will get down in the joints and the marrow of your bones. Do you know where a lot of your sickness and disease is? Down in the joints and the marrow of your bones. So it can get up there.
Yeah.
Jesus used the sword, the word, to get spirits out of people. So when I send the word in there, the word of God, it'll get in his joints and marrow.
Yeah.
You know where a lot of your sickness and disease is? It's in your marrow. Leukemia's in the marrow. God's given us something to go inside your marrow and take it out. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I charge for that back rub. This word, now you know what Job said? Job said, my bones are filled with the sins of my youth. That's what Job said. When you're sowing your wild oats as a young person, corruption is getting inside of your bones. It's getting in there. Hallelujah. See then? That's part of your bones. Corruption, this represents corruption. Satan's whole kingdom is spirit. I mean, his whole kingdom is spirit. God told me one time to teach Satan's kingdom with toilet paper. That's what he told me. Now, do you see these little buggy things on there? They're personalities. That's called corruption. And when Job was sowing his wild oats in his youth, this stuff was getting in his bones. Getting in his bones. Wonder why we have so much problem with our bones. Boy, I just feel so tight and sound up. I can't half walk anymore. But boy, I really had a time when I was a youth. Man. Played professional baseball in the Yankees organization for 10 years, and man, I didn't behave as a Christian. My bones got some stuff in them too. Yours have too when you were not serving God. God says, don't be deceived. If you don't believe what I'm going to tell you after God says, don't be deceived, you're deceived. He said, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, he's talking about sowing to your flesh now. And when you sow to your flesh, somebody gets in your bone. He said, if you sow to your flesh, you're going to get corruption in your bone. You're going to get it in your flesh too. Satan, if we are late getting saved in life and we've walked out there and wickedness most of our life, most people are about like this. They're so tied up. Satan can tie you up, make your arms not work good. Your shoulders, try to move your shoulders a little bit. See that? He can bind you in your shoulders. He binds you in your hands and wrists. Didn't he bind a woman? 18 years he had bound her up. You think he can't bind you if you give place to him? Satan will bind your legs where you can't half use them trying to walk. See there? You see people walking around like this? Jesus said, shouldn't this woman, daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound 18 years, shouldn't she be set free? He might need some deliverance. I believe that's one of those effeminate things. I should have used her. Thank you. I'll be using you some more. So when we're out here sowing to our flesh, Satan's tying us up. He uses infirmities to do it. Hallelujah. But aren't you glad that Jesus came along and loosed the woman? Aren't you glad there's people that have a camp here where you can come and get loose, get untied? That's what loose means, untied. So hallelujah. Glory to God. There's a lot of people in bondage. A lot of people in bondage. A lot of people are in bondage. They're tied up. They're tied up. Look at that. Poor thing. Look at that nice lady. Tied up. In bondage. You don't have a sword, Sergeant. So we can untie people. That's what that word loose means. It means to untie them. He came across that woman. That thing was Satan had gotten that on her when she was young. Here, hold it. Now, bend over. All right, now. And that thing right there made her walk around like that. 18 years she walked around like that. And wouldn't it have been something to walk in churches where they didn't believe in deliverance? Oh, we don't cast devils out here. You're a Christian. You can't have a demon. Give me a break. Now, you know how man's wisdom would treat her? Well, sister, I'll tell you what. I'm an expert doctor. And we could break your back and take a chance that we could reset it to where you could straighten up. Now, there's a chance you won't make it. So that's about the way. And he said, woman, I loose you from your infirmity. And do you know what? The angels of God untie the people you turn loose. It's in that book. God showed me it was angels doing it. The angels, thank you, they hearken to the voice of his commandments, not yours. You can't say, angels of God, bring me a Cadillac. I need it for my ministry. Show me the chapter and verse. That's foolishness. You don't have to tell an angel to be with you. You know how you get an angel with you? By the fear of the Lord, angels camp about you to deliver you. No fear of God, no angels to protect you. You know, when John wanted to bow down and worship that angel, Revelation, he said, don't worship me, worship God. He said, I'm just your fellow servant. I'm just your fellow worker and those who obey God and fear God. How do you know you have the fear of God? Have you departed from evil? By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So have you repented and departed from evil? If you have, you've got angels that will hold people for you. You better teach your children how to bind people that are trying to hurt them, trying to kidnap them. A little child can bind somebody if they just stick their finger there and say, now watch this. Let's just say he's going to hurt me, and you're the angel. If I'm binding him, you've got to grab it before he hurts me. You hear me, angel? Now listen, we are going to judge angels, so you better do your job. All right, now, here's this guy who's going to hurt me. And I've got an angel with me. Come on. I bind you with Jesus. God is my shield. All right, hold him up. God is my shield. He's my fortress. Holy Mary, angel, I'm going to work him over a little bit. God's my shield. God's my fortress. God's my shield. He's my fortress. Now, if you behave, I'll loose you. I'll loose you in the name of Jesus. That's the way it works. The angels do it. The angels hold the people. Hallelujah. If you've got somebody walking in that door and says, I'm going to kill everybody in here, you better not try binding a demon. You better bind the person so the demon can't use the person. I'm telling you, that's the way it works. Hallelujah. Yeah. I got an amen, brother. That's the dead churches that won't amen me. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to teach you a little principle here. I'm going to show you some illustrations. This could be a whole message, but I'm just going to show you a couple of things here that God wanted you all to see tonight. One picture is as good as 10,000 words. You ever hear that? Let me show you this. Okay. God says, well, let me show you this. This is pretty neat. Some people are satisfied where they are in God. Yeah. They're satisfied. I'm saved. Well, I got my fire insurance. I'm all right. At least they ought to dip this thing in the Word just a little bit, get a little bit of light in it. They ought to get a little bit of light in it. See, they can dip it in the Word of God and get a little bit of light. See, you can dip it in the Word. There's a Word. You dip it in there. And look at that. I got a little light. That's a 2-minute Bible study in the morning. Are you satisfied or are you hungry for God? Can you see it from that side? Is it blinking there? Uh-huh.
That's the word. He says, after you become a babe, desire the milk that you might grow. Christians that get born again and don't desire the milk and stay on this, they won't grow. All right, now, God says, guard your heart with all diligence. There's your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. For out of your heart are the issues of life. What you let in there will be an issue. It'll be an issue. For example, you let pornography get in there. Now, y'all saw my sin the other day. Looked so like that. So you let pornography get into your heart. You let bitterness, hatred get in your heart. Look at that. It'll be an issue. God says it'll be an issue to you. Now, I saw on CNN the other day, it made me sad. It ran a story about two twins. Maybe some of y'all saw that. One twin went to Harvard and was doing good. No problem. Very successful. The other twin started hearing voices when she was 11 years old. The voices got stronger and stronger. She tried everything to get rid of the voices. The voices started telling her to burn herself with cigarettes. So here she'd burn herself obeying these voices. Listen, that's the power of sin inside of somebody. You let sin inside of your life and you don't hate it and want it not to control your life, it'll force you to do things against your will, Paul said. Sin can make you do things you hate. That's why you better guard your heart against it. Now, she went through all kinds of treatments, mental hospitals, shock treatments on her mind, all that kind of stuff. And I'm sitting there, oh my God, why doesn't preachers preach about these voices? Letting people know how to get rid of the voices. Now listen, this is not my teaching tonight, but I'm going to give it to you real quick. If this gets in your heart, Jesus made this statement. Out of your heart proceed evil thoughts. He tells you where they are. He tells you where they are. He said, out of your heart proceed evil thoughts. Thoughts of murder. Thoughts of fornication. He said, these things come out of your heart. Now, these thoughts, you know what Ecclesiastes says they are? It says they're voices. So these things right here talk to you. They talk to you. They talk to you. Thoughts are voices. When you here have a thought that's unrighteous, it's the devil portion he's gotten in there talking to you. When you have a thought, it's a dead giveaway what's in your heart. You have a thought of murder, that's what's in there talking to you. You have a thought of hatred, that's inside of you talking to you, telling you to hate that person. Hate that black person over there. Hate that Chinese person. Hate that Jew over there. That stuff inside of people's heart talking to them. When you have a thought, God tells you what to do with it. He said, capture the thought. When God was teaching me, this God teaches me with toys and objects. When I came to God, I said, God, I got to understand the Bible before I can explain it. I got on my knees like a baby. I said, help me understand it, God, so I can explain it to people. God says, I'm going to let you show and tell like I did. Gave me Luke 8:1. Jesus went about every city and village showing and telling the things of the kingdom of heaven. So when I'm showing you things here, the Lord has taught me what I'm showing you. And all I'm doing is showing you what He's taught me. Now, He tells you what to do about thoughts and imagination. He said, they come out of here. He said, capture them. Capture it. So here this thing's talking to you. Hate that person up there. Wow. I wonder who that is talking to me out of my heart. I'm supposed to hate somebody up here. I need to find out if that's God talking to me or the devil. I capture that thought, that thing talking to me. It's got a source. God says your sins testify against you. Your sins talk to you. So you capture it. Okay, God, you tell me what to do when I have a thought. You said to capture it. Bring it into captivity. So remember, now this way God showed me this works. It's like a deep sea diver down there and he's got this big old tank on and the bubbles come up to the top. There's a source to those bubbles down there. So this is going to be the bubble tonight. Boy, I capture you. You want me to hate somebody up here. I'm going to see if that lines up with the Word of God. Love your neighbor. Bless those that curse you. Overcome evil with good. Love your enemies. That's not God talking to me. I captured something that's been talking to me and tormenting me. You're down there in my heart. You're down there in my heart. God, I got a problem. I've got something that's been talking to me. It's telling me to hate people instead of love them. Listen, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. The kingdom is inside of you. And this is the violence against trying to love people. God, I've got a problem. This thing in here, in my heart. You said it yourself, Lord Jesus, that these voices and thoughts come out of my heart. So I've got something in my heart I want out, God. So I capture that thing.
I capture. Gotcha. I gotcha.
Now, I'm going to do business against this evil thing in my heart. God, you said if I would confess my sin, Lord, this thing want me to hate. You said if I confess my sin, you're faithful to forgive me and to cleanse me. God, this evil in me, I want it out. He might tell you to go to Lake Hamilton. He might. He might tell you to call up some deliverance minister somewhere. That's why you better know who labors in the body of Christ. Paul says, know those who labor among you. Boy, I keep my eyes open all the time. I want to know who's got what. Because I need every single person in the body of Christ. I don't want any of them against me. So I've captured that thing. God, there it is, God. Now, if you make that your friend, God will not take it from you. God, I'm just going to hold on to that because,
you know, they did something to me. Lord, they did something to me, so I'm going to get even.
You'll never get rid of that thing talking to you. It'll talk to you till it drives you up a tree. Remember, God says, blessed are the pure in heart. If you get that heart pure and get the Lamb in there, all you'd hear would be the Lamb talking to you. So wouldn't you be blessed if you only heard the Lamb talking to you? God, this is my enemy. Jesus, you came to take that thing away from me. Thank you, Lord, for taking that thing from me. Look, I'm purifying my heart. I'm getting my heart pure. Uh-oh, stop, just talk to me. Go to my computer and check out the latest porn sites. I wonder if that's God or not. I wonder if he's just trying to teach me what's out there. Or you think God would want you to look at that stuff? It gets in your eyes and gets in your heart. So you take it to the Word of God. He says, David says, I put no evil thing before my eyes. Lord, I've got a pornographic problem. I think about bad things. Lord, forgive me and cleanse me of this thing. Take it out, God. Go to Lake Hamilton. Go down there on Christmas. But I don't want to go down there. Well, do you want to keep your problems? All right, God, I'm going to Lake Hamilton. Somebody cast that thing out of me. Look at that. Oh, man, that's what? Wow. Look at my heart.
How do I get rid of it?
They walk through dry places. You're stealing my show. You're stealing my show. Glenn, can we chain him or something? All right, now look here. Blessed are the pure in heart. Would it be something just to hear the Lamb talking to you? You wake up in the morning, I love you so much. Brushing your teeth, I'm going to be with you today. I'm going to bless you today.
Amen.
I'm going to bless you with my peace.
Amen.
After I get you delivered. He gave me his badge. I'm going to use it in a minute. Now listen here, fellow. I got authority. I got authority. Listen, if you got the Word of God, you got authority.
Amen.
Especially if you're submitted to the Word that you're using. Submit yourself to God, the Word, and resist the devil, and the devil will flee. So, you better behave back there. Now,
wouldn't it be wonderful?
There's a sale on down there, 75% off. Wouldn't it be nice for him to talk to you about everything? Mm-hmm. There's somebody down there named Paul. I want you to go down there and heal him and get him filled with the Holy Ghost.
Wouldn't that be something if that's all that was talking to us? But you know what's happening?
We're being tormented with thoughts. Tormented with thoughts. Hallelujah. So that's a principle that God says to show tonight, and I did. Hallelujah. Now, he gave me something else to show. And this is serious. This is serious. Hallelujah. That's what Satan will talk to you and tell you to do. He's telling that to teenagers to kill yourself. Get out of it. Those voices, when they talk to you, that's Satan talking to you out of your heart. Hallelujah. God wants us to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. All right, now, let me show you God's will. Y'all want to know God's will? Now, that about capturing the thoughts is in 2 Corinthians 10. I didn't go there because I just quoted it. All right. Furthermore, then we beseech you. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so that you would abound more and more, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, including deliverance, getting cleaned up, getting your heart pure, that you should abstain from fornication. You know what fornication is? It's a lot of things, but I'm just going to make it simple. Sex outside of marriage. It also includes pornography and a whole lot of other things, and I'm not going to do a full teaching. In other words, if you fornicate, you're not going to get sanctified. So you're missing God's will if you fornicate. You're missing God's will. I need a Kleenex. My mother and daddy, when we were growing up, they just said, don't do that till you get married. That's all they'd tell us. They wouldn't tell us why not to. They just said, you shouldn't do it till you get married. So that's all the instruction I got. But let me show you, according to the Word, why you shouldn't do it. Let me illustrate why you shouldn't do it. Hallelujah. I lost one of my eyepieces. Do y'all see it up here? Hallelujah. Somebody stepped on these in Thousand Oaks, California. Yeah, here it is in my pocket. Praise God. I'm going to get through this message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, they're in there. Praise God. Aren't y'all glad we're not in a formal church? I don't get invited to many formal churches. Okay. I'm going to find you in a minute. Hallelujah. Glory to God. People on tape, I'm trying to get my glasses back in. All right. I don't know what Glenn's thinking over there. We might be in trouble, brother. Hallelujah. All right, now, Paul says, all sins are without your body, except this one. If you commit fornication or adultery, you're sinning against your own body, which is God's temple. And God says, and I don't hear many people quote it, he says, if you defile my temple, him will God destroy, for the temple of God is holy.
Power retards!
He killed 23,000 in one day for fornicating, just to let people know in the future, which is where we are now, that he doesn't approve of it. He's down inside of here. Our body's the temple of God. And he says the temple of God is holy. And he says if you defile it, he's talking about with fornication too, he said, I'll destroy you.
Power retards!
Under grace, he'll destroy you. Oh, it's gotten quiet. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to go to Proverbs. I'm going to show you something. Hallelujah. All right, now, in Proverbs chapter 6, and I'll show you here in verse 26. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. I meant to get a piece of bread and hold it up to you. God says, by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. And I'd hold that up to you. You talking about Adam and Eve falling? That's quite a fall. For you to be brought down to a piece of bread. Hallelujah. Now, here's what God says. He says, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. You know what it feels like when somebody nice looking gives you that? That's the first step to being taken, God says. Hallelujah. Can a man take fire? No, here it is. For by means of a whorish man, whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. God told me to go out today and buy this. Now, I've got something inside of me that's going to hunt some good-looking women. Now, I'm just showing you what the Scripture says. The adulteress will hunt for the precious soul. Hunting season's in, folks.
Boy, I've got it right in my sight.
She's a precious soul because she's obeying God. She's witnessing for the Lord. She's doing God's work. She's casting devil out. So I'm an adulterer. I've got something inside of me making me go out there. Every man sins when he's drawn aside by his own lust. And he's enticed. That's the enticement there. Look how pretty she is. Hello. Could I minister to you after the service? Be careful ministering to women by yourself.
Amen.
Boy, I could tell you some stories about that. Hallelujah. I won't tell you, but I could. Now, I'm going to show you what area Satan attacks you in the Word. It's an organ of your body. He wants it. He wants to get that organ. Let's read on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise His name. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to touch his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. But if he be found, now I'm going to show you some error in the body of Christ being taught right now. If he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. A lot of people are using that to teach. If you catch Satan stealing something from you, you make him give it back to you seven times. That and a person touching his neighbor's wife and not being innocent. And God, in Leviticus 26, you read it, he said, I punish you seven times for your sin. Satan doesn't give you back one thing he steals from you. Jesus, the Word of God says, God restores what the enemy has taken. God restores what the pommel worm and the canker worm have taken from you. And for us to say, hey, we're going into the enemy's camp, take what he stole from us. It's not scriptural. God restores. Hallelujah. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. Do you know what's inside of people? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom inside of us. So you get tied in with these wild men or wild women, they'll bring you down to a piece of bread. It'll cost you your peace. It'll cost you your righteousness. It'll cost you your love and your joy. It'll cost you your faith. People in adultery, they don't have any faith because the enemy's taking it out. Plus, I showed this the other day, and I'll show it to you real quick. Somebody that's in adultery is like they're in a pit. You want to hear somebody in adultery or fornication? Depression. Listen. Help me. Show me a fornicator, and I'll show you somebody. If they're not in terrible depression right now, it's just a short period of time before they'll be in it.
Help.
God says, repent, get out of the pit. Repent, get out of the pit. Praise God. You say, well, when are you going to be lost doing that? I don't know how much you can get by with. Are you going to take a chance, see how much you can get by with and still make it? You know what it says about the prodigal son? It said when that prodigal son left the father's house, he was dead while he was out there. When he was sleeping around with the women, he was dead. There's got to be spiritual death. You going to play with your salvation? I'm not going to tell anybody how much they can get by with doing that kind of stuff. I'll tell you one thing Paul said. He wrote a letter to the church at Corinth. He said, listen, there's a man I hear that's in sexual immorality and he's having sex with his stepmother. And I've already judged this thing. When y'all come together, turn him over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. So apparently that man's spirit was in danger. Hallelujah. God also said he was lost while he was out there. But when he came back, he was found. He was dead while he was out there, but when he came back, he was alive again. So isn't it nice to where if you mess up, you can come to God and humble yourself. God, I'm sorry. I'm going to return to the Father's house. He'll run out there and greet you, throw his arms all around you. He loves you. He died so you can go to heaven. He died so you can be a witness for Him. So you can be changed in this earth into His image and likeness. Hallelujah. Now let's see what else God says about this thing. Hallelujah. Now listen. Verse 32. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. You know, when you're doing fornication, you're destroying your soul. Let me show you how that works. You want to hear a soul being destroyed? Hello. You want to hear a soul being destroyed? God says you destroy your own soul. Your soul's going to live somewhere forever. My goodness. Do you hear that soul being destroyed? We better take God's word serious. Hello. Another one bit the dust. Brother, I don't know what it is, but I just got a feeling for you. I was born this way.
Try it again. It didn't work. Try it again. It didn't work.
I don't know how long it takes to destroy your soul. God makes this statement. He said, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? What would, in other words, what would you take for your soul? How about a good-looking lady like that? You're not too old. God says, what would you gain if you gained the whole world? How about Solomon's women? Couldn't even get around to them in a year and a half, 2 years. You'd have a few years of pleasure. But how about when God requires your soul of you? Mm-hmm. Remember that hammer and that sound next time you're tempted to get out there and that stuff. Hallelujah. Now look at here. I'm going to show you that part of your body you're wounded in. 33. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. So he says you're going to get wounded. Now over here, he says... That's that young man, Proverbs 7. I'm just going to quote a little bit of it there and get to the end because I don't want to spend too much time on this. But this young man, he went out there and this woman caught him and kissed him, threw a big kiss on him. Mwah! Said, I've been waiting for you. My husband's out of town. He's taking enough money where he won't come home unexpected. Come on to my house and we'll have our fill of love all night long. I have put the perfume on my bed. I've got the silk sheets on there. I got mirrors in my room. Man, come on to my house. You know, he didn't want to do it. Just like a lot of people today, they don't want to do it. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Here she flattered. Boy, you the cutest thing. I just love that color hair. Oh my, you got the little sparkles there on your face. I love it. Oh, your teeth are so white and perfect. You're just the size I like. You believe in going out and having a steak? Of course, I'll pay for it. I've got a convertible out front. Oh, I love those eyes. I'm in trouble. Angel, I'm in trouble. He ain't going to help me out either. With the flattery of people's lips, they can force you. Flattery is a form of witchcraft.
Yes, it is.
You can flatter somebody in the body of Christ and make them do anything for you. Flattery is evil. Flattery is wicked. Flattery is a form of witchcraft. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now look what God goes on to say about this son. So with the flattering of her lips, she forced it. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter. Or as a fool to the correction of the stock. Have you ever watched an ox slaughtered? Let me tell you, I saw it one time as a young boy. You know, God has a way of letting you know things if He's going to use you. He'll teach you along the way. And they bring the ox into this big pen there, the slaughterhouse. And here's the ox in bondage. They're tied up there in that pen. And a man, get on in there. He gets him going down that little runway deal. And the ox thinks he's going for something nice, just like that young man going for her. He thinks he's going to get him some food. There was a man right inside that slaughterhouse door with a big hammer in his hand. You see, here this old ox, he's going in there, man, to get him something good. And all of a sudden, bam, it knocks that ox down. And I'm sitting there, golly, it stunned him. I was teasing the sheriff here about a stun gun, asking him some questions about it. Sin will stun you. Sin will confuse you. Sin will deceive you. So here's that ox laying down there, and this guy comes up to him and takes a knife and cuts his throat. They put hooks in his hind legs and pull him up on this conveyor belt, and the life that's in the blood flows right out of his neck, right down in that drain. A few minutes later, he's back there in the back room, cut up into skin, ready to be eaten. God told Satan, "Satan, I'm going to curse you, and you're going to crawl on your belly the rest of your days, and you're going to eat the dust of the earth. You're made out of dust. You're made out of dust." And God says, don't give place to him. He warns you, don't give place to the devil. So if you let him inside of you, all right, Sheriff, come up here, I'm going to use you. If you let evil come in, he'll come in and he'll destroy you. He'll eat you. He'll want you. Here. Again. Again. That's the Word of God. God says the end result of that sin, your flesh and body, will be consumed. So is it worth it to you? I'm going to take him with me, Glenn. I like it.
I'm going to take your toy away.
Don't get involved with strange men. Don't get involved with them. Don't get involved, girls. Don't say, I'm sexually active, I can't help it. You better help it if you want to live. Now, I'm going to tell you what they did. They did a survey on young girls because they had a lot of cervical cancer. And guess what a common characteristic was? They had many sexual partners. Man, hallelujah. Aren't you glad you can get delivered from that stuff before it destroys you? That's why Lake Hamilton's here. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Now here's the part of your body you're wounded in, I tell you. Till a dart strike through his liver.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.